I am. If I had two hands, I'd have two hands up right now. So we're starting a new series called Breakthrough, and I've titled this message, Keep Going, Keep Pushing. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you where that title came from. But first, I want to read you one of the most amazing stories in the Old Testament, and I want to set it up first before we read it. So if you remember the instructions Joshua was given when he took the promised land, is he was supposed to go in there and just wipe everybody out. I mean, it was pretty hardcore. Like, don't leave anyone behind. Like, just wipe these people out. And there was one group of people from one town that figured out a way around this. And can anybody remember who those people were? The people of Gibeon. The Gibeonites had figured out, hey, let's play a trick on Joshua, and we'll go to him. We'll look like we've been from a far, far off land. Let's make our let's bring some moldy bread with us and some old wineskins that are cracking, and we'll just look really dirty and gross, and we'll fool him into signing a peace treaty with him. He'll think we're not from the promised land. He'll think we're from far away. So sure enough, they faked him out. He agrees to he makes an oath with them that he will not fight them. And then he finds out later he was played, you know? Well, when the Amorite king of Jerusalem found out that the Gibeonites had signed a treaty with Joshua, that kind of freaked him out a little bit, because the Gibeonites were known as being a strong army. And if they'd already made peace with him and they didn't even want to fight, like, what did that mean for him? So he reaches out to four other Amorite kings and he says, hey guys, come help me destroy Gibeon, because they have signed a peace treaty with Joshua. So that's where our story begins, Joshua 10, 5 through 14. So these five Amorite kings combined their armies for a united attack. They moved all their troops into place and attacked Gibeon. The men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal. Don't abandon your servants now, they pleaded. Come at once, save us, help us. For all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road to Beth Horon, killing them all along the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As the Amorites retreated down the road from Beth Horon, the Lord destroyed them with a terrible hailstorm from heaven that continued until they reached Azekah. The hail killed more of the enemy than the Israelites killed with the sword. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. Is this event not recorded in the book of Jasher? The sun stayed in the middle of the sky and it did not set as on a normal day. There has never been a day like this one before or since when the Lord answered such a prayer. Surely the Lord fought for Israel that day. If you know the Stewart family, you know that we clean house every Saturday. This is how it's always been in our house. Anybody else Saturday cleaners? Yes, this is the way it works for me. I've always been a working mom, and this is when I had time to do it. Now, my kids knew that when they got up on Saturday, they were going to have to do two chores plus clean their room. So my older son, Chase, God bless him, he'd get up on Saturdays and be like, what's my chores? And he would I'd have to, okay, let's figure that out today. And he was on it, and it was done, and he was just like, boom. I'm such a good mom, right, you know? But then Sky and Ryder, they were not so hip on doing chores. So I had to do a little bit more, you know, come on, do it, get it going. You know, we have Morgan here today. She used to spend the night on Friday night. She would also help us, right? Can I get a witness? She would have to help us clean on Saturdays as well. She's cleaned many a bathroom for me. So they would be cleaning. They'd finally get going. And then about halfway through, I'd catch them laying on the couch, or the TV was on, or they were roaming through the fridge. And I'd have to get my, Mama General, come on, guys, keep going, keep pushing. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to get up. Y'all got to get moving. And they would just roll their eyes. And, they hated it when I went into that mode. But they would laugh about it later because it just became a thing. I would always say, keep going. Keep pushing. Keep going. Keep pushing. You love that, right, Ryder? That was really great. Yes, good times. Good memories. But the point is, and my kids learned this early on, and we all do, sometimes in life you have to do something you don't feel like doing. Welcome to life, right? And sometimes you have to keep doing something that's just inconvenient. And sometimes you have to finish something you don't have the strength to finish. Now, there are three takeaways from this story that we just read, and I believe that God is saying these three things to you today. And can I just say that when I knew I was going to be speaking, God just downloaded this thing to me so fast. It almost came so easy. I thought I had to work harder for it. So I'm telling you, this is a word for you today from the Lord. So get ready for this. Okay, so I believe three takeaways. The first thing that I believe God is saying to you today is get going. Get going. Now, you can know that when Joshua received this message, right, this call for help from the Gibeonites, he did not feel like going. He did not want to help these people that had just pulled the wool over his eyes and tricked him into signing a peace treaty with him. And secondly, you can also bet that he did not want to hustle to go help them, okay? But look at this. Sometimes we have to do what we don't feel like doing. And Joshua was a man who kept his word. He was also a man who took the time to listen to the Lord and to hear from the Lord. And we know this by looking at verse 7. Let's look at this again. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said to Joshua, for I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Now we can assume from the scripture that when Joshua received this urgent request, he sought the Lord. We know he sought the Lord because we hear the Lord is answering him. He's speaking to him. And he speaks to him with this amazing promise. I have given you victory over them. They won't even be able to stand up to one of you. So I want to say this to you this morning. When God gives you that get going moment, that he tells you what to do, you can ask him for a word and a promise to stand on. Ask God for a word and a promise to stand on. You know, I've shared the story with the women in the church, but I want to share this with all of you. 10 years ago, when my 17-year-old son walked away from God and he moved back to California, I just want to let you know that I was hit with depression, anxiety, and a whole lot of fear. I was very fearful what was going to happen to him, not to mention that I felt like a huge mom failure. But the Lord, after a few weeks of my pity and my wallowing and all that junk, the Lord called me to a 3-day clear liquid fast. And let me tell you, that's super hard for me. I know it's hard for all of us, but I was like, oh, dear God, help me. But that was my get-going moment. And during that time, the Lord began to give me a prayer strategy that would literally change the course of my life. It put me back on the offensive, and he gave me a promise at the end of this fast, and he said, this will end well. I mean, you guys, I can hear it as clear as day. This will end well. And when that happened, something supernatural happened to me. I stepped into this supernatural peace, place of faith. I can't explain it, but once I stepped into it, I have never stepped out of it. To this day, you guys, I have complete faith. No more fear or anxiety about that. Amen. I know God's given me a promise. This is going to end well. Amen. Yes. While we were sick, Chuck Gosnell over here, he sent us a sermon to listen to. And it was Chris Valentin. He's the associate pastor at Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he is also the co-founder of the Bethel School of Ministry, and it was a great message, exactly what I needed to hear. And in it, Chris shared a story of he went through COVID, and he said on day 4, the Lord gave him such a clear word about 5 a.m. in the morning. He said to him, "You were born for this hour." You know, and he's super sick. So this is like, what? What does this mean, Lord? And he got the picture of a general about to step into an epic battle. Then on the seventh day, still crazy sick, the Lord spoke to him and said, "You must get out of this bed and lead." And he said, the Lord said that to him for three straight mornings. "You must get out of this bed and lead." And then he looks at the camera, you know, and I'm watching it on my phone, and he says, "You must get out of this bed and lead." And I was laying on the couch, you guys, at that time. I was sick, and I did not feel good. And I certainly didn't feel like leading. But the Lord, oh my goodness, it was right to my gut, and something resonated with me, and it was like the Lord said, "Lori, you've got to get up and lead." And right then I knew that he wanted me to preach today. And I was, you know, of course, arguing with him a little bit, but he said, "You're going to help lead the people of Harvest through this crazy COVID season. Get up, girl. Get up and lead." And, you know, at that time, Matt was definitely getting worse while I was starting to get better. And I knew that it was my time. I was being called up to preach because he wasn't going to be ready. And so just like Chris, like God promised Chris Valaton, you know, God's called you for this hour. I believe that is something God is saying to each one of you today. And those of you watching online too, I'm so thankful that you are joining us online. But man, you might be laying on that couch today. You might be laying in the bed today. You might be watching this on your phone or on your TV. I just want to say to you and to everyone here, you were born for this hour. God has a word. God has a promise for you. And man, it's going to be awesome. You know, once you get going, there's another thing we can learn from Joshua. We must give it our best effort. So Joshua, look at verse 7. Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. You know, Joshua could have said, "I do not really want to help these Gibeonites, but I did sign a treaty with them, so I'm going to send a few guys. I'll send a couple thousand troops. Certainly not my best guys, though. I'm going to hold them back for a later battle." Is that what he does? No, it says he sent his entire army, even his best men, and he goes in to defeat. Now, whatever God calls you to do this year, I just want to say, usually he calls you to something hard. Let's just get that straight. Something that's going to require more than what you got. But whatever he calls you to do, I'm just telling you, you must give it your best effort. He might call you to do something with a group of people you're not even really crazy about. I mean, Joshua had to go help the Gibeonites. But he gave it his best effort, and that's what God is asking of you too. You know, growing up, just like my kids, I did not like to clean the house as well. Nowadays, it's not so bad. It's actually kind of a break from work. It's a mental break for me. But anyway, back then, no, did not want to clean. My mother, though, was a spiritual mother. Did anybody else have spiritual mothers that had a scripture for everything? And you know what? I'm one of those moms. So that's a cool thing. But back then, it wasn't always cool. But she would say, "Do it as unto the Lord. I need you to clean the kitchen. Do it as unto the Lord. You know, get up and go clean the bathroom and do it as unto the Lord. There's a reward for you in heaven if you do it with the right attitude." Oh, thanks, Mom. Of course, I would not roll the eyes while she was looking, but there were some eye rolls. Love you, Mom, if you're watching. But that eventually did take root in my heart. And I would start to say, you know, "I'm going to clean this kitchen as unto the Lord. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord while I'm cleaning this bathroom." And something changed in me, and I wanted to do my best. I wanted to give it my best. And, you know, the Bible also says, work as if you're working for God and not for man. So, students, if you're a student, you know, listening to a teacher, or if you're listening to your boss at work, maybe you're not crazy about them or the situation or what you're doing. It doesn't matter. You need to say, "I'm doing this for God. I'm working for God. So I'm going to give it my best," right? That's the attitude we need to go. And when we do that, you can be assured there is a great reward. There's always a reward for obedience. Amen? And my second point is that Joshua didn't just want to get going. He had to keep going. And this is where my little, you know, sermon to my kids on Saturdays. Keep going. Keep pushing. We need to keep going. And verse 9 says, Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. Now think about this. So Joshua gets the call to come help. Okay, to this, help these people he didn't really want to help. What would you do? I would be like, okay, well, I'm going to have a good night's sleep, and then first thing in the morning, I'll get my troops together, and we'll go. Is that what he did? No. He left immediately, traveled all night. Okay, the distance from Gilgal to Gibeon was about 20 miles, which is basically, oh, and it's uphill. It's 3,300 feet ascending. So it's basically the distance from here to Suffolk at night, marching uphill. Hello, that's not fun. Okay, that's awful. But like I said earlier, sometimes you have to keep doing something that's inconvenient. So here's the takeaway. We must obey God, even when it's inconvenient. Jesus said this is the kingdom way. If you look at Matthew 5:41, this is Jesus talking. He says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. And another translation says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Now, if you lived in the first century Roman Empire, you would have understood these words from Jesus, because in the Roman Empire, 50,000 miles of road they laid down, and every mile they put a stone marker so they could know the distance from Rome and all that. So if you were a Roman citizen or a Roman soldier and you were carrying a pack and some just guy walks by that's, you know, a people that you'd already conquered, you could say, hey, fella, I want you to carry all my stuff for the next mile. And he had to do it. By law, had to do it. Now, these soldiers could stop you in the middle of your journey. Didn't matter if you already had a pack yourself that you were carrying. Didn't matter if you were in a hurry. No, you had to stop and carry that pack 1 mile. And Jesus said, yeah, I want you to do that. And I also want you to go 2 miles. So yeah, do your mandatory mile, but then I want you to do that second mile. And you know what? We need to be second mile and then some Christians. I'm going to explain that and then some in a minute, but when you go that second mile, some people call that the miracle mile. That first mile is the mandatory mile, but that second mile, that miracle mile, is motivated by love. Okay, that's the only way we can do second mile stuff, you guys. It has to come from love. That's the kingdom way. In other words, Jesus was saying, I want you to do that first mile and then some. And then some. Are you an and then some Christian? Do you love others enough to go the second mile? I remember the story of Rebecca. And if you recall, there's a time in Isaac's life where he became old enough to get married and ready to settle down. But his dad, Abraham, and it was all arranged marriages back then, Abraham was not about to let his son marry some heathen, local, Canaanite, idol-worshiping woman. No, that's not happening. Abraham told his servant to go back to his homeland and find Isaac a wife. So, hello, that would not be an easy job. Who would want to go find your boss a wife for their son? I mean, it's hard to believe that he would trust him with this assignment. But Abraham's servant was a wise servant. And he wasn't just looking for a girl with outer beauty. He was looking for an and then some woman. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's look at his prayer, because once he arrived there, he prayed. Genesis 24:12-20. Oh, Lord, God of my master Abraham, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I'm standing here beside the spring, and the young women of the town are coming out to draw water. And this is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says, yes, have a drink, and I will water your camels too, let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. And before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebekah coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor and his wife Milcah. Rebekah was very beautiful and old enough to be married. She was still a virgin. She went down to the spring, filled her jug, and came up again. Running over to her, the servant said, please give me a little drink of water from your jug. Yes, Lord, she answered, have a drink. And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him a drink. And when she'd given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they've had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all his camels. You guys, Rebekah was an and then some person. Oh, sure, I'll get you a drink. Oh, and I'll water your 10 camels too. I mean, come on, how much water do 10 camels need after a long trip? How many times was she, it says she was running to get, she wasn't just, oh, I'll get you, you know those people that, I'll go get you some water. And then you're like, oh, they're so slow. No, she's running. She's hustling to get that water for the servant who was a stranger. She didn't know who this man was. This is an and then some woman, right? Now, I want to ask you today, are you an and then some Christian? You know, we have a lot of and then some people at this church. I just want to say, you guys are the most amazing and then some people. And I just want to talk about two people that reached out to us, and I'm not going to say their names because I don't want anybody to get hurt that got left out, because like I said, a lot of you reached out. But one family that reached out, I think we were both super sick on the couch one day, and I said, oh gosh, I need like these three things from the store, but there's no way I'm getting those three things today. You know, it just ain't happening. I don't know how we'd get those things from the store. And like 5 minutes later, this person texts us, hey, can I go by the store for you guys today and get you something? I'm like, what is happening? I said, yeah, put those three things I just said. So he did, and they brought the three things, and they brought the bulk size of each thing, too. Don't you love that? They didn't just bring anyway. And then I was like, wow, they really went the extra mile for us. Well, then a couple days later, those same people said, we're bringing you dinner. What do you need? What would you like? Where can we get it? What time do you want us? I mean, it was like, oh, okay. You know, some people just say, let me know if you need something, which you're probably not going to ever ask for help in that case. But when they say, I'm bringing you dinner, then you're like, well, yes, you are. Okay. Well, let's see. What am I in the mood for? Okay. So they brought us dinner. And then that same night when they dropped that dinner off, they brought me flowers. And those flowers are still alive. Those have been alive for like 2 weeks now. That was an and then some experience for us to see that love in action. And then another man in the church, you guys, was so neat. He dropped off this big, tall bowl of fruit, and which is totally what you need when you're super sick. You need that vitamin C. And when Matt had, that time I was like, go to the door. There's no way. So Matt had gone to the door. He opened the door, and the man had, you know, was backed off quite a ways down the driveway, and he waved at Matt, and then he just said, I want to pray for you. And he put up his hands, you guys, and he started praying over Matt and I and declaring stuff. I mean, Matt said you could hear it. A neighbors could have heard this prayer down the street. He was shouting his prayer. And it just touched him, and he came in and told me about it, and that touched me. And then he came back a couple days later with a big flower arrangement. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, these are, and then we have, and then some people at Harvest. You know, I've also known Christians who are not, and then some people. And I've actually managed some people like that are, you know, working at a Christian organization, but they don't necessarily go the second mile, if they even go the first. You're like, come on, you know. So I just want to challenge you today. Are you an and then some person at work? Do people know you're going to go the second mile, or are you going to do the minimum, the very basic minimum, or even maybe not even that? Come on, let's be at school. Are you a second mile and then some person? Are you going the extra mile to do well on that test, that project? You know, to help that group project? What are you doing to go the second mile for others. And I just want to encourage you, in 2021, let's choose to be and then some Christians. Let's go that miracle mile for people, that love mile that's only motivated by love. You know, we're in a series called Breakthrough. And if you want a breakthrough, you know, this is a picture of a wall. You know, sometimes you got to push that thing down. And that is my third point. Keep pushing. So, man, I hope you keep hearing that voice of the Holy Spirit all year. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep going. Keep pushing. Because there might be that moment where you just feel like, I can't keep going. But you can. As I said earlier, sometimes you have to finish something you don't have the strength to finish. And when I was putting this message together, again, the Lord gave me the title first before I knew anything else. And I asked the Lord, what does keep pushing mean? What would go with that? And that's when he gave me the story of the Joshua story of the sun standing still. And I noticed in this story that, you know, Joshua had already had a ton of victories that day, and he had already seen a miracle of the hailstorm. I mean, come on, how cool is that? Hail starts taking out your enemies. Boom, boom, boom. But he wasn't satisfied with partial victory, you guys. He was willing to pray that sun stand still prayer because he wanted to see complete victory. So he prayed a bold, audacious prayer. Let's look at it one more time, verse 12 through 14. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies. You know, scientifically, I can't explain all that, how the sun stood still. But for all intents and purposes, it did. And they were able to finish the battle. They were able to completely wipe out the enemy. And we can learn so much from Joshua from the story. And one of the things I love the most is that when he was fighting to the very bitter end, he was fighting tired. Remember, guys, he had already left the night before with no sleep. He had marched all night uphill, then fought all day, could have easily said, guys, let's pack it up and we'll have a nice little meal tonight and we'll finish this in the morning. No, he did not do that. He kept fighting even though he was fighting tired. Isn't that amazing? And we know he could do this because he had his eyes on the goal, and the goal was complete victory. So that's why he prayed that big, giant, audacious prayer. And sometimes you need to pray big, bold prayers. Big sun stand still prayers. Do you feel like you've been fighting tired? Do you feel like this thing that you're fighting has just been a long, hard battle? First of all, let me just say, well done. Well done that you have not given up the fight. Keep going, keep pushing. But I want to speak to those of you who have kind of dropped out of the fight. You have said maybe, I'm just going to sit this one out. This thing has gotten too hard, too tough. I'm hurt. Church has hurt me. People have let me down. My miracle has not come. God has not heard, answered my prayer. So I'm just going to sit this one out. And you found other ways to escape your issues. And that could be through sitting in your big cozy recliner and just getting lost in Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus. Maybe you get lost in your sports or your video games or your phone. Swipe, swipe, swipe. Or food. Comfort food. Pills. Alcohol. Pornography. Whatever it is that you are using to escape from reality and get out of the fight and just stay in your comfort zone. But you know what? Comfort zones are not really comfortable. That's a deception. It's just a big mess. So church, let me remind you that we are in an epic battle. And you are being called up to fight. And just like Chris Valentin, the Lord saying to him, it's time to wake up and lead. It's time to get out of this bed and lead. I just want to add to that. It's time to wake up and pray. It is time to wake up and fight. Some of you, maybe it's not a huge spiritual thing like God's not calling you to lead or to pray or to fight, but he is maybe speaking to you on more of a just a day-by-day level. Maybe you just need to get up and do your homework, get up and study, get up and practice your instrument that the Lord's called you to play. You know, maybe God's telling you to get up and exercise, get up and eat right, get up and change some of your bad habits. Come on, right? Sometimes God isn't just always saying this, the spiritual things to us. He's given us some practical things to do too. And he will empower you to do those things he's calling you to do. And those can be spiritual things, really, in the long run, those physical things. So I want to encourage you, how bad do you want that victory? Are you willing to keep pushing, to keep praying those big, audacious prayers? And not just that. What if you've prayed the big audacious prayers and God hasn't answered? I mean, Joshua, he got to have his prayer answered right away. So that's super cool. But is it super cool when it's like 5 years into this and I'm still praying? 10 years into this and I'm still praying? My mom prayed 25 years for my sister's salvation. That's a long time. But you know what? When I asked God again, what does keep pushing look like? He didn't just remind me of the story of Joshua. He reminded me of this acronym, PUSH. Pray until something happens. And that's what God's encouraging us to do today. Pray until something happens. Keep pushing. You know, Jesus knew how to keep pushing. Think about it. On the day he would be arrested, he could have easily stayed in bed. You know, if I was Jesus, I got up that morning and I knew, okay, tonight one of my best friends is going to betray me. Then I'm going to get arrested. And then after that, I'm going to get beaten. Come on. Who wants to get up on a day like that? But Jesus chose to get up and lead. And that evening, he had his last supper with his disciples. And then he spent the whole night praying. You guys, it said he prayed so hard that he sweat drops of blood. This really happened, okay? It's a documented medical condition. It's known as hematidrosis, and it happens when a person is under so much extreme anguish, anxiety, distress, dread, that they will actually sweat drops of blood. Why would Jesus endure this? Because Jesus had to finish the work. Sometimes you have to do something you don't feel like doing, and sometimes you have to finish something you don't have the strength to finish. And Jesus has done that for us. Amen. Look at his prayer he prayed in Matthew 26, 19. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, Jesus knew that for us to have our breakthrough, he had to do this. He had to finish the work. What's the last thing he said on the cross? It is finished, right? He had to finish that hard thing so that we could have eternal life with the Father, live free from sin, free from guilt. Amen. He kept pushing. He pushed all the way to the cross. You know, and during that time that Jesus was praying in the garden, what were his disciples doing? They were sleeping. They were sleeping. When Jesus needed his friends the most, they went to sleep. You know, guys, we're living in the last days, and it is so obvious. I'm not even going to go into all the reasons why I know that. Just so obvious. And at such a crucial time as this, are we going to just do what the disciples did and just go to sleep? Or will we wake up and lead? Will we wake up and pray? Will we wake up and fight? Remember, you were born for this hour. Think about this. You could have been born back in the Middle Ages. You could have been born back in 1900. No, you were born to live through 2020. What? Yes, you were born for this time. There's a reason why you're here. There's a kingdom role you have to play. Will you play it? Will you sign up and go, I'm going. I'm going to get up and get going. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to keep pushing until I get a breakthrough. Amen? Amen. So in closing, I just want to recap what we went over today. You know, I taught for 14 years, so teachers always have to review. Get going. When God directs you, ask Him for a promise to stand on, and then give it your best effort. Secondly, keep going, even when it's inconvenient. Obey God and be a second mile and then some Christian. And finally, keep pushing, man. Keep praying those big, bold, audacious, sun stand still prayers. And then push. Pray until something happens. I forgot to call the worship team up, but you guys can come up now. I'm going to lead you in prayer and just ask you to bow your heads at this time. And I know because of how God gave me this message. I know that this message has spoken to each and every one of you here. So as you bow your head, what is God saying to you right now? What has He spoken to you in this message? What is that one takeaway? You've all got one takeaway. What is it? Jesus, we just come to You right now, Lord. We've heard Your voice this morning. Holy Spirit, we know You're talking to us. We know You're giving us that little kick in the back to say, come on, guys, You're going to make it. So, Father God, I just pray for everyone that's watching, everyone here in this room. You know, and if this word has spoken to you and you've got a takeaway that you know God has told you to do something and you want to just right now commit, God, I hear You and I'm going to stand on what You've said. I'm going to do it. I just want you to raise your hand with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Raise your hand. Lord, I hear You. I hear You. And I'm going to obey. I'm going to do this. Yes, there's hands all over the room. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to keep going with that word, whatever it is the Lord has shared with you. Keep going with it in the name of Jesus. I just want to pray. Lord God, You've seen these hands. You know people that are watching, God, and they're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm going to be like Joshua. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to get going. I'm not going to give up. And I'm going to finish strong. I'm going to finish strong like Jesus did for me. I'm not going to give up. Father, I pray that You would empower each one watching. Lord, and if there's any watching right now that don't know You, Jesus, or they've walked away from You, Lord, I just pray that You would draw them by Your Holy Spirit back to You, that You would give them crazy hope for the future. Oh man, no more time to be depressed. Depression, go in the name of Jesus. No time to have a pity party. Get out of that pity party right now in the name of Jesus. God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. God has a destiny for you. He's got a word. He's got a promise. It's for you. And all you've got to do is say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'm listening. Father, thank You, Jesus, for setting people free today, for setting people to do what they need to do this year, Lord. It's going to be good. They're going to get a breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, we pray it, we declare it. And everyone said, amen, amen. We're going to sing.